Thank you, Andy. Well, it is nice to be with you again today, and we were at a wedding yesterday, so you're very fortunate to have me here, because we went to this wedding yesterday, and it was a wedding in the woods, and we nearly got lost, didn't we? But we eventually got on the right path, although the right path was a muddy path. But life's a bit like that sometimes, isn't it? Isn't always go nice and tidy and smooth, but there you are. But it is nice to be here this morning. And I'm going to read a few verses. I'll refer to some of the verses, but you don't need to turn to them all, but I'll refer to them. But particularly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to take a few verses from there. The first 8 verses, and heading just before this chapter, there's obviously some they've categorized it in certain small portions, and it just says a plea for purity. This is what it says in verse 1 of chapter 4. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honour, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. I want to talk today, particularly the thought I've got for you is a simple thought, and I always usually bring a practical illustration. Elaine's good at that with her pearls, but I've just brought something very special. Say me walking, dear. Oh, I bought a stick, and on this stick there's certain marks on the stick, which we'll learn a little bit more. It's a notch, if you like, that's made in the stick. And when I first left school, and I was involved in landscape design work, and we were going to create a golf course. I was part of that. I was only a trainee. It wasn't me that was doing the whole thing at all. But we had sticks like this, very simple sticks, and they, from a distance, I mean, things have moved on a lot now, but from a distance, the actual landscape designer could see with his eye where he wanted the certain levels of soil and certain things to create bunkers and other stuff. Very simple thing. But this stick's full of notches, indentation or incisions on the surface of the stick. Of course, it was also, we live in where we live in the north, we have lots of canals. And in the canals, very often, in some of the places where, I can't refer to the technical terms where it is, but where the bywashes are that kind of take the overflow of the canal, so the canal doesn't actually overflow, they have fixed sticks similar to this that just give us the idea of what level the water is. And so some person who has that job, he can keep an eye on that and make sure that the levels remain good and as they should be. So what's that got to do? What's that got to do with you and me this morning? Well, that reading that I read to us this morning is basically, it is a plea for your purity. And it's a plea that each one of us in our spiritual lives with God need to remember that God wants us to take it up a notch, to raise the level in our own lives as individuals, but obviously as our corporate life together, as a church, there's always somewhere else to go. There's always a level that God wants us to attain, and so on. Now, I don't know if anybody watched those programs on television where the chefs are busy cooking a nice meal. I mean, I know they're angry chefs. I don't like watching them myself. They shout too much, but, you know. But anyway, chefs. But what makes the difference? I mean, the meals, the dishes that are actually created by this chef or that chef or whatever, really, it's just similar ingredients. The thing is that the chef who wants to actually take his dish to a different place, if you like, to take his creation of what he's actually created on that plate as to what he thinks, he wants to take it up another level. So he adds something to his ingredients that will give it that little bit of extra punch or that little bit of extra spice. Now, I know some people like spicy food. Anybody here like spicy food? Yeah, there's people like spicy food. And so the chef comes along, and to actually make that what is a, could be a very bland kind of dish, you know, is to add that little bit of special ingredient. And if you're a chef like that, of course, people might come for lunch sometimes to your house. I do a little bit of cooking at home, don't I, Elaine? And they'll say to me afterwards, I'm not a baker, but I like cooking main courses. So they'll say to me, oh, that was nice, Joseph. What was that? And you kind of hesitate. You don't want to give the secret away, do you? We went to a wedding yesterday, and it was for the suite, the idea was that you brought to the wedding your creation. So you actually made a cake or cakes, whatever it might be, and you brought it to the wedding. Now, you're looking like I just lit when I received that through the post. What's all this about? But then after we'd had our main course, there was the grand unveiling of this curtain going away, and the unveiling was of the tables that are full of different people's creations. It was a coffee and walnut cake with a difference. It was a trifle, but not just a trifle. It was a tiramisu, that's it, but with something special, Alan. There was some ingredient there that was in there that and to give that away, of course, some people are very guarded about what they do. So, but of course, every chef, everybody who wants to do something with their life, surely each one of us as Christians, you know, as long as we go on as Christians, you know, we can sometimes just settle back with what we've got. And God's calling us to kind of take our lives that little bit higher. Spiritually, I'm talking about now. Take our lives higher. Take it up, if you like, a little notch with God. Because God's always got us somewhere else to go. You know, he wants us to strive for places where we haven't been to yet. And there's places where, you know, spiritually, if you're like me, there's hundreds, thousands of places that God wants to take us. Places we haven't been there yet. And we like going on holiday, and very often we've been to Greece, and I think we've been to about, I don't know, many Greek islands now. It sounds like we've got plenty of money, but we've not. How many? About 14 or something like that. But, you know, every time you go, you find something different. Every island has got its own speciality, and it's that little bit of difference. And in our lives, we're on an adventure, we're on a journey, and God's saying to us, listen, church, I want you to realise that there's no status quo. There's no standing still. There's no just sitting along, you know, with our laurels and thinking we've made it, we've achieved, we've done it. There's always new places where God actually wants to take us. And Paul, in them verses that we read together, was teaching those Christians at Thessalonica. He was teaching some of the things that were lacking in their lives in order that they may take their lives up a little notch, a little bit further with their relationship with God. Some very practical things that Paul dealt with, things that he wanted them to understand could be hindrances from them really going to the places where he wanted them to be. In fact, it says in verse 2, it says in verse 1 and 2, he starts off by saying in that verse, chapter 4, finally. Now, he wasn't saying finally. He begins by saying finally, not because he's finishing, but because he's now got to the bones of the matter. The place Paul wanted to get to was this place. Finally, finally, I can now talk about those things in order to be able to encourage those believers, that church, to, you know, go that little bit further in God. So it wasn't a finally as though to say, I've said it all now. It was, now I've got to the nuts and bolts. Now I've got to the crux of the matter. Now I can start to talk to you about what's important that will take away those hindrances from your life, that will allow you to move and to raise your life higher in the things of God. You see, they'd proved their love for God by the way they conducted their lives. They lived to please God more than anyone else, even though they'd suffered great persecution. They were relatively new believers, but they knew what persecution was all about. And it's out of our love, just like their love for him, that we want to obey, we desire to obey, don't we, God's commands. It's not that we want to deliberately disobey what God wants us to do. We want to do what God wants us to do. And so that means we have to do, as it says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, Jesus said, you will obey what I command. If we love someone, like I love my dear, gorgeous wife, Elaine, my desire is to please her and to make her happy. Do I cheat? Do I get there, love? Do I make it? I mean, you can see with the jewelry I buy, can't you? The pearls. And if we love someone, it will be our desire to please them. And so if we love God, it's our desire. We want to please God. We want to do the things. We want to make our life, when God looks at it, to bring him pleasure, to bring him, move in his realm of glory and think, that's my son, that's my daughter, that's my church, that's where they're going, that's where I want them to go, that's where they're rising to, that's where they're taking their lives and their lives together, up that little bit further to do and to be what I want them to be. But that, you know, it's a take it up a notch. And if any person loves the Lord, we'll always have a desire to love and to go up that little bit further in our spiritual life. You see, as I said before, there's no standing still in God. Ever met Christians who have never moved on in their Christian life? You can meet them again 20 years later, and you meet them and you sit and talk with them, and you fellowship with them, and you talk about, you know, the things that God's doing. And it's as if sometimes the person has never really moved from where they were. They've stayed just where they were. You see, I just want to say these things. None of us can bask in the glory of what happened yesterday, either as a person or as a fellowship. God says we've got to press on. We've got to follow God. We must continue to grow in our spiritual life. Somebody well said, the road to the next level is always uphill. I used to like hills. In fact, you'll not believe it now, but I used to run. I used to be a fell runner in Cumbria. Can you believe that? Dear me. No, all right, Alan, keep your mouth shut. But, you know, running uphill, you know, I don't mind going down. Well, I don't run. I tend to roll down hills these days. But But the road to the next level is always going to take something from us. Sometimes God doesn't make, have you realized? Have we know, don't we? God never makes some things sometimes easy. Many don't want to press on. They despise sometimes the change that growth brings. They complain, well, that's not the way. We've always done it this way. Or sometimes God's calling us to maybe do it a different way in order that we might take our lives to the next level. Just one or two questions. Why is it that people want to stay just where they are? We often forget that time's moving on all the time. Just like that taxi that arrives at your door and he's had enough now and he begins to shout, the meter is running. So you take your time. You come when you're ready, but the meter's running. You're paying for me. I'll sit here all day if you want to, but the meter's running. It's going to cost you something. And if we keep waiting, you know, we're going to have to pay. And we pay sometimes if we don't step into what God wants us to do. There's somewhere God wants to take us. And if we don't step into that place, it's going to cost us something. As well as it costing us something to do it. What does James say in chapter 4, verse 13 to 15? He says, don't make the mistake to think you've forever, maybe you're off course because, you know, you majored on minor things. And he went on to say lots of other things. We've not time to go in, or I don't want to go into those things. But God is encouraging the believers there to move on and to move into the things that he has for them. Sometimes people don't move in or go up a notch in their lives because it's a matter that they've just lost interest. When you lose interest in the game of life, you really stop caring about personal growth and taking up your life to that next place. Somebody also said, success doesn't come from being dealt a good hand, but from playing a poor hand. Well, whatever we've been dealt, you know, in our lives, God expects us, he wants us, he's encouraging us to, and we've got all the support we need to actually get on and do the thing and to win in our lives and to get to that place where God wants us to be. So make sure you don't get sidetracked or you don't get railroaded into a path that you don't belong on. And, you know, some of us have made the mistake. Sometimes, if you can't admit it, I will, as a driver. And I have my companion, namely the lady of the house, who's normally the navigator. And I always seem to be right, or wrong, sorry, in her eyes. Right in my eyes. And we go out for a drive somewhere, and we say, now we're on holiday, love. You know, we're in this island, and we've rented the car. Let's just go out. And does it matter that we get lost? Does it matter? And we go down this road, and she says to me, you've come down the wrong road. And I say, well, I don't know you've discovered that because we've not been down it yet. Let's go down the road and see where we get to. And you can't read some of the signs because they're all in another language. So you're going down this road. And then eventually you hit you know, a farmyard gate or something like that that says, this is where it stops. You know, you've come down this road and this is where it stops. The only thing you've got to do now is to retrace your steps, turn round, you know, get back to where you made the mistake and carry on the road that you're going. And sometimes in our lives it's like that. We make mistakes. We don't make the right decisions. We don't take the right choices God gives to us. We make choices of our own. And we forget that sometimes God's there and he makes things very plain to us. There was a man called, he was R. Kipling, not the man who made the cakes, but somebody else. And he says this, if you don't get what you want, it's a sign that you did not seriously want it or that you tried to bargain over the price. Have you ever heard how often Jesus, when he was healing someone or doing someone a tremendous miracle in their life. Have you noticed they always seem to ask them what they wanted? The blind man who came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "What do you want?" And the man could have turned around and said, "Well, is it not obvious?" You know, or the man who was lame on both feet, "What do you want?" "Well, Jesus, isn't it obvious?" And sometimes we're like that with God. "You know, oh God, you know, before I ask, and you know all about it, so I've got a bit tired. You know, God, what I need, where I've got need of. You know what my need is. You know what's happening in my life." But, you know, sometimes God wants us to actually stand there, identify the need in our heart, and God comes to us again, even this morning, and he says to you and me to take our lives to that next level. What do you want? What do you want? And, you know, because wanting very often is a requirement that many sometimes don't realise how important it is to wanting that from God. Wanting that healing, wanting that change, wanting those circumstances to be different, wanting the things in your life to change, wanting something that matters. I remember praying for somebody. Well, he'd been in the church a while and he kept coming out for prayer. And so, you know, he'd come out when we'd finished at the end, and he'd come out with the line when people were prayed for. And then I thought to myself, as his pastor, I should be a little bit responsible. So I'm going to sit him down and have a chat to him. So I sat him down and I said, "Listen, Stephen, you keep coming out for prayer, which is great, wonderful. And I said, "What do you want? What do you keep coming out for prayer for?" He says, well, Pastor, he said, "The thing is, I keep losing my temper." Now, many of us will notice and realise what he means by that. He said, "I keep losing my temper." And I just said to him, I said, "Well, the trouble is, Stephen, it's not a matter of losing it. You keep finding it. It is there. Sin is there. Unfortunately, none of us are perfect. You know, as much as I strive and I'm trying to be, we'll never be perfect. So we've all got things in our life, if you like, that can rise up at any moment." But he had a real revelation that day, a simple thing, really. He said, "Yeah, I keep finding it. God wants me to understand that he can help me to control things in my life, the help from those things, you know, that sometimes bubble over, that shouldn't bubble over as much as they do." So sometimes to take our lives to the next level means identifying things and saying, "God, help me with this. This is what I want. This is what I want you to do. This is what I need. I want to go to that next place in you. Help me." And do you know something? The Holy Spirit's wonderful, and God, and he comes and he does help us. You see, going to the next level, can I just say this as well? Sometimes it can be a costly process, because sometimes it involves personal sacrifice. Have you ever heard the saying, there's really no such thing as a free lunch, is there? Somebody has to pay for it. Might be free to you and me, but somebody has to pay for it. Anything in life, anything in our spiritual life worth having in life is worth paying the price for. It might cost us something, but it's worth paying that price that we may in turn get to that next level of experience and place in God. Four reasons why we don't take it up a notch sometimes is this: we forget that life moves on and we need to move on with it as well. The second thing, we sometimes just simply lose interest and look at other people and everybody else, and we forget about ourselves. Sometimes we lack real hunger. I don't think anyone, have you? I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you've been real. I know, you know, when you ride McDonald's for a fortnight, you think, "Oh, do you know, I feel really ravenous. I feel starving of that McDonald's or whatever it is. I'm not eating, you know. I'm starving." But when we look at places in the world, we really don't know what that kind of hunger is all about. But spiritually, God says we need to recognize the fact that God has given us an appetite, and we need to kind of maintain that hunger and always be hungry for the things of God and willing to pay the price for what God wants us to pay that we might go. The fourth thing was, we don't want to pay the price. Taking our lives up a notch is an important thing. And going up a notch is a very costly process. And usually, as I've said, it will involve sacrifice. Well, we can experience victory by going to the next level. The human race was created for conquest, wasn't it? We need to, realize that. Genesis 1, we're not going to read it, but it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and so on, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the earth, over livestock of the earth and all that." And he actually created mankind to rule, to reign. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and he said, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves along the ground." He did all of that to enable us to get the picture of how he wants us to maintain our hunger for the things of God and know that it's within our grasp. You know, this notch business, this going to the next level business, it's within every one of our grasp, you know. God was saying, let them rule, let them increase, subdue the earth, let them rule over the things, every living creature. You see, God's glorified when we do what he wants us to do. And I don't know how you feel, but I want my life to glorify God. I want my experience to glorify God. I don't just want to settle back. I want to realize that God is there for me. And when we worship, we talk very often about glorifying God and opening up. We can glorify him. We can worship him. And when he looks at us, can you imagine how he must feel when he sees every one of us as his children striving to go to that next level? John 10 verse 10 says, "The thief doesn't come except to steal, to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And sometimes you might not feel we've got abundant life, but I want to encourage you, we have abundant life. So we need to stretch ourselves in God to enable us to stay healthy and in that place where God wants us to be. One thing is absolutely sure, you'll not go to the next notch or level without growing. There's a development that takes place in our lives. There was a man called Leighton Ford, and he said this: "God loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way." Joyce Meyer said, "I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I am not where I used to be." Can you say that this morning? It's tremendous when we can say that and let our lives glorify God. So the curious Christian, what does the curious Christian do? He sits and he listens. What does the convinced Christian do? Well, he listens and he says something in response. What does the committed Christian do? He listens and he serves his God. And he opens his life up to the things of God. And he says, "You know, God, I want to do what you want me to do." There's an illustration about Julius Caesar. And when he landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took what was a bold and a decisive step to ensure success in his military venture, ordering his men to march to the very edge of the cliffs at Dover. He commanded his men to look down at the water below. To their utter amazement, they saw every ship that they had sailed across in the channel, which was engulfed in flames. Caesar had deliberately cut off any possibility for a retreat. Now that his men were unable to return to the continent, there was nothing left for them to do but to advance and to conquer. And that's exactly what they did. Spiritually, God wants us to go. He's got his life for us and everything about us. He wants us to be blessed and to be encouraged. I'll finish with this little illustration. Sometimes it costs us something, as I've said, and it's a matter of sometimes changing our idea. There was once an elderly man and his wife who decided to separate. And before being allowed to do so legally, the family court insisted that they undergo some counselling from the marriage guidance mob to see if their union could be saved. The counsellor did her best, but to no avail. The old folk were absolutely determined to go through with the separation leading to divorce. Finally, in some desperation, the counsellor said, "But you're 95 and your wife's 93. You've been married for 72 years. Why do you want to separate now?" To which the wife replied, "Well, we haven't been able to stand each other for the last 46 years. But we thought we should wait until all our children had died before we split up." Is that an amazing story? That's a real story. Change, doing the things. God doesn't expect us just to meander through life and dislike this and dislike the other. God's brought us together in his kingdom, that through you and me, God can be glorified and his kingdom extended. Can he encourage us all this morning in that simple message that I brought to us, that God says, what is the next level for you? It may be you don't know, but the fact is you're willing to say to God, "God, whatever it is, take me to that place, because I want my life to count. I want my life to bring honour and glory to you." That's why we become Christians, isn't it? And sometimes we have to make that first step. Remember what it was like? Wasn't bolts from the sky, wasn't explosions. It was a simple decision. I want to live my life. I want to open my life to Jesus. We didn't understand anything, but we just simply opened our lives to God. And as a result of that, the Holy Spirit's taken us on a journey which we are still on. And hopefully today we've been encouraged to go to that next place in God. Can I just pray for us all? Heavenly Father, we come here this morning, we thank you for each other. We thank you for our lives together. We've come from different places, but you've brought us together. We would never have thought, Lord, that we would have met some of the people that we've met even in this room, but you've brought us together. We are your people. We are your children. And Lord, you've got a wonderful life for us to move into constantly. And I just thank you for the way that people in this room have, through their years of experience, just determined to go to that next place in God, have just opened their hearts to God and allowed him to do what he wants to do. I pray today, Lord, you see our hearts, you see our lives. Look into our lives and Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do. It may be that there's someone or a few people, I don't know anyone, that one or two of you, but not everyone. And it may be that you've never really said to Jesus, "Lord, I open my heart to you." I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just open my heart to you. Just realize that God, God sent his son Jesus into this world to become a saviour for you. Holy Spirit, speak into those hearts right now. Speak into their hearts right now. We thank you for that wonderful revelation that has come to every one of us at certain times, maybe a long time ago, maybe a short time ago, or maybe even just a moment ago. Holy Spirit, do your work of salvation and take us all to that next place in the things of God. And everybody said, Amen. The Lord bless you this morning. Thank you. Lovely to have spent some time with you today.